McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1800 50 11 11. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Do they ever really get it right? Anyway, tomorrow seemingly the temperatures will go up. I'm looking here, by Sunday it says it's going to be 14 or 15 degrees. That would be unusual even in January. Nice and moderate. Anyway, lots to get through tonight, including, are the Garda Síochána too restricted with regards to using force? Particularly when it comes to young people. And that's really where we need to, you know, nip it in the bud, crime in general. You know, guards can't really search young people or they get harassed.
Oh, you're on YouTube. We're filming everything for you.
Whereas in the old days, the guards would give them a clip around the ear and say, open your pockets there for God's sake. Anyway, are the guards too restricted? Now, not only that, you know, generally speaking and dealing with thugs, they're being watched all the time. You know, and there's been cases now where guards have been taken to court for using, you know, too much force in certain situations, even though the perpetrator committed a crime. You know, it might have been an assault or something like that. Anyway, I want to know if you think the guards are too restricted compared to other countries. They probably are. Why is Ireland obsessed with death, by the way? And the reason I'm asking that is because the government, well, there's a suggestion the government should have their own RIP notice website. As you know, the Irish Times have recently bought RIP.ie. So they're saying there should be a public one available, that the government should run it. But, the, you know, down around the countryside as well, when you go to country radio stations, for years, now they don't really do it on the national radio stations or on the local ones in Dublin, but they do on the local ones around the country, the death notices. I mean, Mother used to be obsessed with buying the Evening Herald just so she could look at the death notices. What is the Irish obsession with death? It's like, they, you know, when you get to a certain age in your life, you wake up in the morning going, I wonder who's dead today. Let's start with A and work our way to Z. You know what I mean? I don't understand that obsession. And also, we have a great interview for you tonight. Adam B. Coleman, really interesting guy. Really, really interesting guy. And we'll be chatting to him later on. I'll tell you all about him later on because you won't want to miss that. Now, first tonight, first, free speech. And the reason I'm talking about free speech is because Meta, formerly Facebook, has announced significant changes in their speech policy and hate speech policy. Basically, they're in serious financial trouble. Facebook, not so much Instagram and WhatsApp, which they also own too. Instagram has never been a place where people had debates anyway. Instagram has always just been for people showing off their new dress or their birthday cake. Whereas on Facebook, it used to be the place for debate. Then Twitter came along. Twitter got very restricted and it was kind of a bit of both. And then obviously Elon Musk bought Twitter. And now Twitter, there was research out today that shows that Twitter is one of the main social medias with balance, i.e. there's people on the left and people on the right, compared to any of the other ones. So Facebook are really worried. And not only that, Mark Zuckerberg is also worried of the fact that Donald Trump is now going to be the president. So he's just donated £1 million to his inaugural donation fund. Now, I think people are going to say £1 million is not much for Mark Zuckerberg. I think that's the most he's allowed to donate. Anyway, the point is they're planning to roll back on their policies. And they're now saying that, yes, it's okay, and I'm quoting, by the way, for you to go back and, you know, turn around and say things like, I believe transgenderism is mental illness. I don't agree with gay people. I think it's abnormal. Because that could be based on religious views or religious opinions. They also are rolling back on immigration, that you can now talk about immigration and, you know, be defensive about it or be objective to it. Whereas you couldn't before. If you did, you probably got banned or suspended. So now, don't get me wrong, they will still implement a policy of, you know, you can't incite violence or incite hatred towards an individual, or you can't harass or bully anybody. But they're certainly rolling back. And Mark Zuckerberg said the decision certainly has stirred up some concerns among many, raising questions about the balance between free speech and protecting vulnerable groups. But Mark Zuckerberg is intent, he says, on allowing or bringing Facebook back to having free speech. They will also be getting rid of their fact checkers. So they did have an independent third party company fact checking. But Mark Zuckerberg admitted in Congress that the fact checkers were human beings and they were biased, and that fact checks were nothing more than opinions. And technically they can be, unless a fact check is literally checking fact, i.e. numbers and figures and analytics. It's generally just checking an opinion. And I'll give you an example. Climate change is one of the big debates, isn't it, in the world, whether human beings are responsible for the change in climate. Now, some people believe they're not responsible. Some people believe they are. Now, if you have somebody fact-checking who is a, you know, climate change obsessive person, they may fact-check somebody who puts up something saying, you know, people are not responsible and delete their post and say, you can't put that up because it's not true. Because fact, obviously, the climate change theory is based on a hypothesis. It doesn't actually mean it's a fact. It's a hypothesis. Many scientists would claim it's a fact, but it's based on theories and hypotheses. So you can't have human beings taking their own bias out when it comes to fact-checking. So he's got rid of fact-checkers and he's brought in something very original on Facebook. It's called Community Notes. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's because X already have it. It's called Community Notes, where other members of the community, i.e. you, can correct somebody on a community note saying, no, this is actually wrong. This is when this happened. That's what it is. And this is actually out of context or whatever. So I'm asking you, is this a good idea to see Facebook going back? And the reason they're going back, of course, is because nobody's really on Facebook anymore. There was a time when we got huge reaction, even here, you know, on the radio station for the show. We would have put up a topic going back 7, 8 years ago and you'd have got 500 or 600 comments. Now you'd be lucky to get 70 or 80 because not as many people read debates or get involved in that type of debate on Facebook anymore. It's all on TikTok. It's all on Twitter. It's all on other places too, depending on what you're posting. So I want to know if you believe this is the right way forward or is this a step backwards? Let me know what you think. Tonight I want to hear from you. Do you believe that free speech should be absolute? Because some people believe it should be absolute. You should be allowed to say what you want. Now, you must be responsible for what you say, but you should be allowed to say what you want. Do you believe, or could that lead to more harm than good? Let us know what you think. The number, as usual, is 087-188-0008. And get involved in social media, by the way, on Facebook, at Ireland's Classic Hits, or indeed on X, at Classic Hits Radio. So please get involved in the conversation and you can WhatsApp us at any stage at 087-188-0008. And the question simply is free speech absolute? Let me go to Mike. Mike, hi, how are you?
Niall, how's it going?
How you doing, Mike? It's a complicated, loaded question. Now, you can see Facebook are heading in the direction of Twitter here, or X as it's called now, you know, where really anything goes. Is that a good thing?
Well, it is factual. You see, like what you were asking the question there, like, should people be allowed free speech and all that? Like, yeah. You are, of course, once you're talking the truth, like, and okay, very often the truth hurts. But it's like, we have the government there and we have bodies coming out saying A, B, C, and D. And sure, who's fact-checking them now? Should this whole thing...
I wouldn't disagree with you. I think the government, particularly when we look at, say, something like the recent referendum, are probably the worst... are the guiltiest when it comes to misinformation. But in saying that, you know, I would agree with free speech being absolute, but you've got to be responsible for what you say. When you say it's the truth, it might be your truth, but it might not be somebody else's, or it may not be the actual truth. It could be what you right. think is the truth.
I made a comment there on, I know the Facebook now, TikTok there. It was on about this elderly Dublin man trying to get on the Dublin bus. And the driver was sitting on the thing, looking straight ahead, not paying any. Your man went to drop the thing so he could bring his wheelchair onto the bus.
Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about that video because I've seen that video. I know the video you're talking about. Your man's given out that he has a wheelchair and the driver won't lower down the ramp and let him on. Somebody sent that to me during the week and said to me, look what just happened in town on Dublin bus. And I said, no, it didn't. That happened 4 years ago.
So 4 years ago.
I think it was about 4 years ago. So this is the problem, see, isn't it? You know, when you, like I seen somebody put up a story today about something a judge said, making out, I won't go into the details of it. It turned out the story was from 2003. It was 22 years old. But there are other people who will read that and they go, oh, that must have happened yesterday. That judge said that, you know. And so what I'm saying now, okay, that's fine. But as long as they have community notes where people can put up, you know, here's a community note, this actually happened in 2003, or that wheelchair incident happened in 2021 or 22, whatever it was.
Well, yeah, that is one thing that that there should be data on it. There should at least be data on it when them things are posted. Mm. But I left a comment on that and I said if he got a shot into the big nose, that he would be. Because I was bad off it because of the comment I made. Because it was, and okay, maybe it was a bit over the top. But the actions of that bus driver, who was a non-national, came into our country, okay, he was working and all that, but for a 70-odd-year-old man going to the mental hospital to collect his wife, talk about disrespect to that driver, piece to my man.
So yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing about those little snippet videos. And I know the video went viral. You don't know what happened before and you don't know what happened after. And that's what I always find about videos that you see on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. Yeah, they're convenient. Yeah, yeah. The person takes out their camera at the convenient point when it's not going their way. We don't know if the individual, you know, abused or, you know, verbally abused the driver beforehand or afterwards. We don't know because we don't have that there. Now, I haven't looked up in that video what happened or what the outcome of it was or whether there was somebody. I mean, from the video, it looks like it was wrong. He shouldn't have did what he did. We've all had a bad day. It's irrelevant where somebody comes from. We've all had a bad day and he shouldn't have done what he did. But we don't know what happened before or after. But the point is, you put up a comment saying something about his big nose, right?
But if you got a shot in the nose.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But that's fair enough. And you might think that's free speech. But, you know, what you're doing there is you're kind of verging on incitement to violence. Yeah. And that's really, we shouldn't be doing that. Somebody else said that to me today. Oh, I put up a comment saying he should be shot. And I said, why would you do that? Nobody should be shot.
Right.
But not about that video, about another video. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, but was that guy not inciting violence the way he was ignoring a 70-year-old man?
But that's neither here nor there. What happened in the video technically is not your problem. It's, you know, Double Bus's problem or somebody else's problem. But you're putting up a comment inciting violence. And they see, and by the way, even though Facebook are rolling back, they're still not going to stop monitoring or moderating stuff like that. Because I would imagine if Twitter see that too, or somebody reported that, that would be removed from Twitter as well. I would like to think it would, because that's inciting violence. Now, I know you were angry when you saw it, and I get it.
I was
and I know you don't actually mean it either. I know it's just words.
Not at all.
Okay, but should you be allowed to say what you... See, this is the problem, Mike. Do you feel you should be allowed to just say what you want?
Without a shadow of a doubt. Once it's factual and it's not... Was you telling the truth? That's what I have no problem with that. Like the statement I should have said underneath that fella, that his ignorance is personified by the exuberance of his verbosity.
You would have got away with that. It sounds good apart from anything else. Look, if you put up a comment saying, God, I think that's terrible behavior, that's fine. That's fair comment. You know what I mean?
Or
you put up a comment saying, I don't know what happened before and I don't know what happened after this video, but it doesn't look good. You know what I mean? That's fair comment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And just on the good side of that thing, Niall, I've been big into music now, right? And I was listening to, it was on TikTok, I think, and there was this little 12-year-old girl in Germany, gave her rendition of The House of the Rising Sun, and it blew my brains out. It was, Eric Bunton would be so proud of the rendition she gave, and I left a comment on it. Well, but the positive feedback that I got from that was,
And what do you use, Mike? Do you use Facebook, Instagram, TikTok? What do you use mostly?
Just Facebook and TikTok. That's as far as I go. Niall, I was inside the swimming pool there last week. Listen to this now, Niall Bylan. And I had a disagreement with another GA fan over in this inside the swimming pool. And my phone was outside in the van charging, okay? And we had a disagreement about the 1982 All-Ireland final when Seamus Darby scored the goal against Kerry. He said that was scored into the Hill 16 goal. And I said, no, it was not. It was scored into the Malin goal. What was the first thing that came up on Facebook the following morning?
An answer.
The 1982 All-Ireland final.
Right, okay. Yeah, okay, they're listening to you. Stay there for a second. Let me go to Colm if I can. Colm, hi, how are you?
Hey, Noel, how's it going?
Good. Colm, getting back to free speech, is it absolute? I mean, should you just be allowed to say whatever you want?
Yeah, of course, yeah, it has to be, you know. It's like, what are you going to do? Start throwing people in jail?
Well, they are doing that in England quite a lot at the moment.
I know, yeah, which is hypocritical, you know. So, you know, it's either integrity or hypocrisy. It's the one thing I always say. And if you're arresting people for words, it's just the height of hypocrisy, you know. You know, so what if someone's feelings get hurt? So what if you're upsetting someone? Deal with it. Like, what's the first thing we thought about in school here?
Sticks and stones will break your bones and names will never hurt you.
I mean?
By the way, I've no problem with people, you know, if somebody takes offence to something you said. That's their problem, right? You know, there's no law says you have to, that you can't, you know, be offensive. But here's the thing. If you're inciting violence or inciting hatred against an individual person.
Yeah.
You know, there is a law there anyway.
Well, which, yeah, it's a new law, right?
No, there's a law there since 1989, the incitement to violence.
It's pissing on our freedoms.
No, hold on. Hang on, Colin, for a second. There's been a law there since 1989, incitement to violence.
Well, I was talking about the hate speech there.
Yeah, I know. Well, the hate speech bill hasn't come in yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So there's a law there currently at the moment. Like, you take, for example, the riots that happened in November last year in O'Connell Street. If you were one of the individuals during the day who said, everybody meet in town, let's burn the place down, right? That's incitement to violence. And you will be charged with that. That's nothing to do with the social media companies. Yeah, you'll be charged for putting that up online.
And I disagree with that.
Why would you disagree with that?
Why? Because it's only words. And I've had this argument with you before. It's when you cross the line and go in and start lighting fires, that's when you go to jail.
But it doesn't matter that it's only words. You're encouraging other people to be violent.
It doesn't matter. It's like, there's so much going on in this world. Why do you think America has the Fourth Amendment? It's in case of tyranny.
But hang on. But they also have laws against inciting violence.
Exactly.
By the way.
And the only people that are bringing it in is the tyrannists.
No, hold on. When you say they're bringing it in, the law's been here since 1989.
Right. Well, that's fair enough. You can go backwards and forwards on that.
I'm not going to go backwards and forwards on it. It's a fact. The law's here since 1989. You cannot incite violence. You cannot incite.
I'm not disagreeing.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm saying
you are disagreeing with it. You just told me a few minutes ago it's only words.
Yeah, it is. If someone, like you said there 2 seconds ago,
how would you feel if I went on the radio or on social media and said, right, everybody go to Colin's house and kill him? I would ever say anything as irresponsible as that.
But you just done it there.
Yeah, but
do you get what I'm saying?
No, but no, hold on for a second. But how would you feel if I did that? That would be horrible.
Honestly, lad. Like, seriously, you've just said it there. And that's what can happen. You're going down this grey area. Keep it.
That's not a grey area. I'm giving you an example.
Oh, you did. You just said it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm giving you an example. How would you feel? I would be guilty of incitement to violence.
Oh, no, but I'm giving you an example. You've said it, and someone could take that up wrongly.
I would just stop at that.
You just said things are taken out of context all the time, lad.
So you believe you should be able to say anything you want?
Of course, like. Unless you've upset, I've said this to you before, Noel. As soon as you cross the line of fucking smashing up places, causing riots, hitting people, or fucking killing people, that's when you go to jail.
So you're telling me the only time that you should go to jail or the only time that you should ever be in trouble is you physically do something?
Of course, that's when the law is being broken. That's when your freedoms are being impeached. Do you know what I'm saying? But, like, you should be allowed to say what you like, to who what you like, and deal with it.
Sorry, yeah, well, Mike, hold on, Mike wants to say something to you there. Mike, go ahead.
Just when you get caught now, that's when you go to jail, if you get caught,
Well, yeah, exactly, don't get caught.
Can I go back to Marvin now?
Yes, Mike.
We're on about free speech. Okay, go back 20 years ago. These so-called scientists there were telling us that traditional butter, eggs and all them things were bad for you. They came along and they started using these spreads that were filled with stuff that is totally wrong for you. Mm. And should them scientists not be prosecuted for false misinformation? No.
Yeah, but they would argue that was the information they had at the time. That's what they'll argue, isn't it?
But who's questioning? Just because they're scientists. One second now. Start the ball in a minute. And it's the same people with these the atmosphere thing. What do they call them? The
climate change.
The environment. Like, who's questioning their the stuff that they're coming up with?
Well, people do, but there are other scientists that question them. Depends on who you want to believe. And by the way, I believe if you want to go on social media and talk about climate change and disagree with, you know, what the current narrative happens to be, far away. If you want to go on and talk about immigration and go against the current narrative, far away. You should be allowed to do all of those things. But you shouldn't be allowed. The only thing I disagree with, and I don't agree with censorship, I've never agreed with censorship, but the only thing you shouldn't be allowed to do is you shouldn't be allowed, and you can't because there is a law there already, is encourage violence against individuals or a group of people, or because that's illegal.
Yeah.
Would you not agree?
Are you?
Colin doesn't. Colin doesn't. Colin says it's only words. Is that right, Colin?
Yeah, but it is. But tis a crime when you get caught, right? It's a crime. It's a like, but and it that has been taken too far too now, because just in the heat of a moment, if things have gone bad for you, and you said Jesus, I'd take his life. Does that mean that person, he wouldn't mean that, but in the heat of the moment, he say that. So does that mean that...
Let's say you go on Facebook tonight and say, Jase, I didn't agree with Niall Boylan online tonight. Somebody should shoot him dead. That you should be arrested for saying that.
Give me an example, Niall. Niall, can I give you an example?
Mm, yeah.
In 1916, when the good men rose up and fought for their freedoms, what do you think they said back there?
Well, they didn't have Facebook and Twitter, in fairness.
No, but exactly. Was the incitement to violence to go fight for their freedoms?
Well, at the time, the British would have argued it probably was.
At the time, there's different. Well, have you there now, Noel? Do you get what I'm saying?
No, again, they weren't putting it in public. If the closest you would have got in 1916 would have been putting posters up on the wall, you know, saying to meet, you know, at a certain point for a revolution. That would be the closest we would have got to some sort of public information and disinformation or whatever it is. I don't think it's a comparable thing, Colin, because they wouldn't have had the access that you would have now in a modern world to reach so many people. Patrick Pearce didn't have the luxury of the internet to reach more people. If he did, Ireland would be a very different place today. I got to take a break, lads. Stay there for a second. Mike and Colm, thank you. Let me go. I'm going to go to Will after the break. The number is 087. Wonderful. All right, welcome back. Let me go to Will, I think it is. Will, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. I'm good, thanks.
Good. You heard Colm before the break, who didn't agree with any restrictions on speech whatsoever. I should be able to say, or you should be able to say, whatever you want. It doesn't matter if you're inciting violence or inciting hatred or whatever it is. Whereas some people believe there should be some limitations on speech. Should there be?
Well, I think I was listening there to the guys before the break, and the thing about freedom of speech is that, you know, the guys were talking mostly about what we would say, what I would say or what you would say or Colm would say. But we have to remember that the right of freedom of speech, and it is a human right, it's to seek, receive and impart information and ideas. It's not just to impart words, it's forming ideas. And we're talking about social media here, like as a platform. So if you form an idea online, whether it's a comment or a post or whatever, you don't know who that's going to end up in their minds and what they're going to do with that information. So, you know,
you're saying you can't be responsible how other people receive your information. Is what you're saying?
Well, we should be responsible. Well, of course, I think it's a given that we should be responsible how other people would receive our information. Otherwise, there'd be no law in any country, would there not? Would that be fair to say?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think it should be the Wild West. I mean, I hate censorship, right? And, you know, unless it comes to children, of course, under the age of 18, we have to have censorship and we have to protect children. But over the age of 18, we're all grown-ass adults. If you want to take offence to something, take offence. Offence is never given, it's always just taken. But I do understand, we have laws in this country for incitement to violence or incitement to violence. Or criminal activity. So I think they have to be the limitations. Aside from that, everything else is just an opinion, isn't it?
Well, all of those limitations are smashed on a daily basis, whether on a small scale or a large scale. If they're on the large scale, okay, there's action being taken on that. But if you want to go back to what this started all this conversation about
Facebook.
Mark Zuckerberg and fact-checking and all of that, Facebook. Like Facebook, as we all know, is a cesspit. At the moment, Twitter used to be the cesspit. Now it's Facebook.
Well, I think it's the opposite way around. Well, I mean, it does make it
well,
yeah,
but now anyway, Facebook is. But you know, I mean, the question I ask is like, so why is this all? Why suddenly? Like when I see free speech written over every bloody news article, you know, I actually think the opposite. I think what are they trying to sell us here? And it's quite obvious that it's fake news. Trump is back on the scene. And like, if we think of social media as the chessboard, where are all the chess pieces? Who are the chess players? It's Zuckerberg, it's Trump, it's Elon Musk, it's all of these people. So they're going to pit everybody against each other. They're going to let people tear each other apart online. And like you said, revenue is down for them. They want it up, so they want more people online. They're the ones that are inciting the violence behind the curtains, really and truly. Mm.
It is. I did say this the other night. There was a time where there was thousands of people running the world. Now, realistically, there's about 7 people running the world. When you think about, I say running the world, creating the agenda for the day, it used to be just our local newspapers. Now it's these 5 really important people, the likes of the Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and the people who own TikTok, etc., etc. They're the ones creating the debate. They're the ones allowing the debate. Yeah.
they're creating the crowd psychology. So the mass majority will say, oh, yeah, we want more. We want more freedom of speech. We want to be able to say whatever the hell we want. If they're so brilliant at creating amazing social media platforms, why aren't they so brilliant at shutting down scammers? Why aren't they so brilliant at stopping old people from getting scammed online and competitions and getting credit card details and all that? It's 2025. That should be a thing of the past. But I guarantee you, if tomorrow morning, well, maybe not tomorrow morning, but if they, in 6 months' time or 18 months' time, they made a push for more censorship, we'd quickly forget about what they're pushing today. You know, the
see, their claim is, their claim, Will, is they're just publishers, right? I.e. They're not publishers, that they're just a vehicle. They're a communications company. And the same way is, if I rang you off air now and we had a chat, right, and we were talking privately between the two of us, Aircom or, you know, Vodafone or whoever you use and whoever I use have no control over what we say to each other. That's complete and utter free speech. We can say what we want to each other. So Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, they all claim the same thing, that they're just a vehicle. They're just a communications company. They're not a publisher like a newspaper or a radio station, so they shouldn't have the same restrictions.
I think there's a difference there between, say, a phone provider where we can have a private conversation. But actually, that actually just made me think of something. There's a lot of things that people will say and comment on only online, and they would absolutely never say in person. We would never say to each other in the flesh. We'd never, you know, opinions are created online that people, they're coming from different places, and they would never say it in the cold light of day. But they have the mass responsibility on all of this. Yes, they create the platform, but they have responsibility because they're not creating private conversations. It's a public platform. You can get to see anything you want, wherever you want. So they have to have the responsibility. So I'm against the rollback on the fact checking. Like the community notes is basically a relaxing of fact checking, and in order to create consternation online. And if people can't see that, I don't know what the other two lads.
I do believe the community notes helps because, you know, on numerous occasions I've seen stuff on Twitter and I go, oh my God. And then I see a community note under it saying, oh, that happened 10 years ago or that happened 5 years ago or that didn't really happen the way people or that person's explaining it or whatever. And I do find it helpful. I do think the community notes are helpful. I think the point Zuckerberg and Elon Musk have made in relation to fact checking is only as good as the fact checker.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, you said that, or did Zuckerberg say that it was opinions?
It was based on opinions. He said that in Congress. Yeah.
But, well, then why weren't they called bloody opinion checkers? Facts are facts, you know?
Not necessarily. I mean, facts are facts when it comes to figures. So, you know, for example, if somebody posts tomorrow, you know, on Facebook and says, oh, the bike shed in Dublin costs 50,000 euro. Well, a fact checker will come along and say, actually, you were wrong. It actually costs 234,000 or whatever the hell it was. So they'll come along and fact check it. That's proper fact checking, right? But if somebody comes on tomorrow on Facebook or Twitter and says, I don't believe human beings are responsible for the climate of the world, or changing the climate of the world, right? That's their opinion. Now, a fact checker will come along and say, well, you know, 50,000 scientists says you're wrong, so you must be wrong. So there you go. There's a fact check. Now you're suspended for 2 days. That's an opinion because scientists base everything they do on hypotheses since the world started. So it's not a fact until it happens. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it sounds like what they had in place for censorship actually wasn't doing the job.
The same during COVID. How many people were suspended during COVID for saying things? I'll give you one example. The amount of people that were suspended and taken off, removed from Facebook for suggesting that the virus came from a lab in Wuhan. Now, they, you know, of course, the fact checkers were taking them off saying, no, it came from a bat in a meat market, right? Where it turned out now, and it's been officially said now, that it did come from a lab in Wuhan. So those fact checkers were wrong because they were basing that on an opinion that they were given by somebody else. So what I'm saying is fact checkers can't always be right.
That's a fair point, yeah.
You know what I mean? Point. So yeah. I do understand why they say about the bias of fact checkers. Fact checkers can have bias.
Yeah. And that's fair, okay, we're getting into the fact checking part of it. But what I think what we're really talking about is the incitement of hatred and I suppose, who the hell is Donald Trump to be coming along saying, you know, free it up a bit more censorship. He is the history's greatest ever example of inciting hatred on his own people at Capitol Hill. I mean, only a couple of years ago. Like, I mean, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, well, he's denied that and said he didn't incite that violence or that insurgence on that particular day.
Should we watch this?
Well, we watched it, but he says, I didn't incite it. He said, I just said to people, you know, to go there peacefully, yada, yada, yada. And he said, I was one of the first people to tell them all to go home again. I mean, look, and the courts have found that he wasn't responsible. So unfortunately, from that point of view, from a legal point of view, he wasn't responsible technically. But in saying that, I understand the point you're making. And by the way, he's not the only politician. How many politicians tell the truth? Do you know what I mean? I mean, politicians
well,
are probably...
telling the truth and inciting hatred is too...
Well, absolutely. But what I'm saying to you is, the decisions that politicians make affect all of our lives. The comments that they make affect all of our lives. And yet politicians constantly give misinformation to the general public, and they're the ones that are telling everybody else not to be using misinformation. Anyway, getting back to... I agree with you, Will, by the way. There has to be some limits.
Oh, thanks. No, I didn't think you did, actually,
no,
for a minute.
No, no, there has to be some limits. You can't have people going online and saying, you know, let's all meet up at a certain place and burn a house down or whatever it happens to be. You know, that can't be allowed. And we've laws against that. You know what I mean? But where I do draw the line is that sometimes, you know, the censorship is completely over the top. And by the way, we don't, free speech is not a human right in Ireland. Under our constitution, we have freedom of expression. It's not quite the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's slightly different, I believe. So I'm led to believe by a barrister that's slightly different.
Freedom of speech is the American
piece. Amendment. Yeah, yeah. Well, stay there for a second, Will. Let me go to Paul. Paul, hi. How are you?
How you doing?
How are you doing, Paul? You've heard what Will has to say. You know there should be limits to it.
First off, he's a wally.
Who?
That's free speech. He is a wally.
Who's a wally?
The lad that was just talking to you.
Why is he a wally? Because he made a comment you don't agree with. Is that what happens nowadays? If somebody doesn't agree with you, just call him a name.
No, we need to fact check that.
I've got to fact check it. Are you a wally, Will?
It's nothing that I
haven't heard that word in years.
It's not that he said something that I disagree with. He said something that's completely false, and he tried to put it through as facts, and then you proved him wrong, and then he started going on about the Donald Trump thing. That exactly there is. And look, that's freedom of speech.
Hang on. Everybody has their own take on things. Just like Paul.
Exactly,
hang on, Paul. You're on the air to have your take on it as well, and I'm going to allow you, just like I allowed Will, to have his take. So what's your take?
My take is, people should be allowed to say what they want, when they want, how they want. And then if you get offended for it, then you need to speak up and say, I'm offended. Not that it's offensive. That's the whole point of it. That's the bit that they're trying to force. They're trying to force people. They're trying to shut people up from saying how it actually is. Like for argument's sake, RTE put up there yesterday that Connolly Station got shut down because of antisocial behaviour. And we all know it was false.
Yeah, I know. Well, I understand. Yeah, somebody was arrested on a firearms charge, but RTE did report that once that information was available.
Yeah, but he already knew it was available.
No. You see, when you're in the media, you have to be very careful and check your sources. So you don't just put something up. I know on social media people were putting it up before RTE did, right? But that's social media. That's just people who happened to be there, came up with a hunch, saw the guards walking off with something that looked like a shotgun, and were making up their own mind. Now, I can't go into it too deeply, obviously, because somebody's obviously being arrested in relation to it. But RTE did report on it after the fact, once it was verified by the Garda Síochána Conor that somebody had been arrested and charged under firearms, or was being arrested under a firearms act.
Because the public had seen what was going on.
Okay, but what I'm saying to you is, that's always going to be the way in social media. The media have a bigger responsibility to report the facts. Social media, you can go on a hunch, right?
Yeah,
move away from that story anyway, because it's currently being investigated. So move away from that story.
Social media are private companies.
That's right.
Yeah, private companies. So yeah, you're trying to police a private company.
Well, we police private companies all the time.
Yes.
See, nothing new about that.
We police private companies.
We police citizens all the time, private citizens.
We police private companies to the law of the land, and they're trying to force this law of the land in that we have to restrict what we're saying because all these social media companies are in Ireland, so then they can restrict what people in Europe say because we're the heart. And that's the fact of it.
I don't want to restrict speech. I am a great promoter of free speech and free expression, and I think we should all have it, and we should be all entitled to question and challenge everything. But here's the thing. But I don't think people should be allowed to go on and encourage violence against each other.
No, that's not
free speech.
Day, if you can put it, you can put a law in that says you can't.
Well, there is a law. There is a law there already.
A law, yeah. So then, if there's a law to say that we can't incite violence, why do we need restrictions on what we can and cannot say? Like, I should be able to go out and speak facts about the Jewish people without people turning around saying, oh, you're anti-Semitic. Just because I go out and say, well, I believe Jews run the world, and Jews do run the world.
And you're entitled to say that. There's many people listening tonight who might want to challenge you on saying but that's fine. By the way, that's fine. I don't have an issue with you saying that. And other people might disagree with you and challenge you on saying that. And that's fine.
With these new amendments that they're trying to bring in, they're trying to turn this into the UK where they can come into your home and arrest you for saying that. That's the problem.
Well, I wouldn't like to think you get arrested for saying something like that, by the way. That's just an opinion. It's your opinion.
No, but it's not only opinion. It's a fact. Sure, what do you think?
It's your fact. That's okay. It's your fact. Sometimes we have things called your truth, your fact. In other words, you believe it's the truth. You believe it's the fact. Other people who might be an academic might argue with you and say, well, okay, I have statistics here over the top richest people in the world, the biggest CEOs in the world, and I'm looking at here all, you know, their denominations and where they happen to be from and their religious persuasions, and you're wrong. And they might say that to you. I don't know. I don't have the facts in front of me. Stay there for a second, Paul and Will you? I have to go to another break, and Donal, I'll be with you as well after the break. The number is 087-188-0008.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan. Got an opinion?
Hello?
Then get on the phone. 0818 942 105.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Reckon you and the kids can always spot fake news? Then play and win with Big Fibber. Weekday mornings with Colm and Lucy.
Just tell us who you think is the Big Fibber.
Colm or Lucy?
Colm.
Yes!
No!
Colm is a Big Fibber.
Well done, young man.
How do you feel?
Very achieved in myself.
Yes! You are very achieved in yourself.
Big Fibber, weekdays at 8:30.
On Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
With Bunratty Castle and Folk Park. With more for kids, colourful characters, adorable animals, and the Bunratty Express train. There's more to Bunratty Castle and Folk Park than you think. Bunrattycastle.ie.
Let's Dance, the only weekly over 35s, 80s, 90s, and noughties party, returns every Saturday to Dublin's top club, Soho, at 21 Delir Street. Doors open at 5:30, and in 2025, it's bigger and better than ever. Legendary DJs and MCs, dancers, performers, an electric atmosphere, and the best crowd in Dublin. Tickets and group packages for Let's Dance are available now. Search Soho Dublin on eventbrite.ie, and we'll see you on the dance floor.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
With Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on Recruit.ie.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Just on points of fact, by the way, I just checked during the break. 27% of Conservative and Reformed Jews report incomes of over 200,000 per year. 81% of the Conservative Jews have 84% of Reformed Jews report income of over 50,000 per year. So to suggest that Jews have the majority of the wealth in the world is probably not factually correct. Somebody else says here, by the way, online, they believe it's Asian people have the majority of the wealth of the world, which might not be too far from the fact because of the population. Anyway, I'm not going to get into it now because I don't have all the facts. Let me go to Donal. Donal, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you?
Good, you've listened to Paul. Paul believes that, you know, once you have an opinion, and if you believe it's the truth, you should be allowed to put it up. Whereas Will said there should be some level of restrictions, you know, where it comes to misinformation, where it comes to hatred or whatever it happens to be. What do you think?
I was listening or looking at a video on Facebook a number of months ago, and I think it was Eddie Hobbs. He had a video or whatever, basically canvassing that this draconian law in his own mind was coming in.
This is the hate speech bill you're talking about, yeah?
Yes. And we should canvass against its passing. Mm. No, I assume this is not going through a referendum. It's going through the Dáil, I assume.
It's already gone through the Dáil. Now, unfortunately, there are parts of the bill which would probably be unconstitutional, so it has to be amended because there were arguments in the Senate in relation to the definition of the word hate. But I do believe that the new government, whoever the new Minister for Justice might be, because it won't be Helen McEntee, they will try and put it through before the summer. Yeah.
But in that same video I was listening to, and I hadn't heard it before then, that he was saying that if you basically say boo to a neighbour or boo to anybody, for lack of, I'm being very simplistic here, that the guards have the right to come into your house, take all your computers, whatever, and arrest you and whatever, prosecute you.
That's right. Yep.
Which, in all fairness, does sound a little bit, and I'm being very...
The law actually, as it stands, now I know they're trying to amend it, but the law as it stands is quite draconian. It also suggests, by the way, if you had something that would be considered to be racist, discriminatory, homophobic, or whatever it happens to be, on your phone, and you never actually used it. In other words, you didn't send it to anybody, you didn't go out with it, or a poster in your bedroom wall that nobody else can see except you, you can also be done under the Incitement to Hatred Act.
That's the present law? Or the
no,
law?
There's the law being proposed. And the guards, if somebody reports it and says, oh, Donald has something on his phone that's racist, and the guards can call to Donald's house and demand that Donald opens his phone, and if you don't give him your password, they can also fine you, and they can take all your devices and all your family's devices as well. That was the law that was proposed. Mm-hmm. But the problem with the law was nobody actually knew what the word hate meant.
Right. It's a very wide word.
Hmm. Sorry? Donald, say that again.
Hate, it's a very, very wide word, and it's an
emotion. It's an emotion. It's hard to define. It's like happiness. It's like everything else. It's like love.
It wouldn't be extreme to call this proposed law draconian.
It is draconian. And, I wouldn't disagree with that.
And it's not too far. God forgive me for saying this, but it's not too far off what the Nazis would do.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people had said that at the time. I don't know if I got that far, but certainly it is draconian. A lot of people described it as an Orwellian law based on George Orwell's 1984. They are now, again, as I said to you, they have planned to amend the law and re-propose it again. Because obviously it's not a popular piece of legislation. And they've been trying to bring it through for the last 3 years. So it's not a popular piece of legislation.
Where is the government actually coming from? Is it to do with social media? Or is it to do with immigrants? Or is it...
Yeah, it's a bit of everything, really, isn't it?
A bit of everything.
Yeah, it's a bit of everything.
Are you actually saying that you can't vocally oppose anything nearly?
If it's construed as hatred... But when the minister was asked on RTE how she defined hatred, she couldn't define it. And she also said that the Attorney General said that she shouldn't put in a definition of the word hatred into the law. So she said it would be up to a judge and a jury to decide. Now, where does that go?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, let's not get bogged down on that. But Donald, do you believe you should be allowed to say what you want?
Within reason, I'm trying to create a balance here. Within reason... You know, I'm not saying that you can say that your neighbour down the road is a so-and-so. I'm not suggesting that. But what they're bringing in, it's nearly 22nd century stuff, nearly.
By the way, I just want to ask Will, go back to Will again. Will, do you agree? Have you seen the hate speech laws that they're proposed?
I haven't read into it in a great deal.
Well, you'd be familiar. You'd be reasonably familiar with it.
Reasonably, yeah. And what I would think, anyway, and my best bit of work here on the spot is that, like, Why are they trying to bring this in? So they're trying to give probably more power to the Gardaí and to law enforcement that in extreme things, we're talking about hate crimes, we're talking about people getting acid thrown on them on the street or, you know, racial
attacks. But Paul, please stop calling people names just because you don't agree with them. Please, Paul.
No, I know.
Whatever he's talking, if you don't agree with him, that's fine. But don't call people names just because you don't agree with them. Right? Because it doesn't work like that. All right?
We're talking about, I don't believe that a member on Garda Síochána Conor in a hypothetical situation you gave there about coming to my door to look at some flag I might have in my back garden or whatever. Do we really think, does everybody on this line now tonight really think that that's what it's about?
I don't know if that's what it's about, but that is in the legislation, Will. And she gave an example when she was asked about that particular part of the legislation in prime time, I think it was. And the example she gave was, if the Garda stopped you in your car, and they did a search and you opened the boot of your car, and in the boot of your car was placards for a protest saying, you know, refugees go home or something like that, right? You could be charged with that even though you haven't actually used them. That the intent was to use them. So, you know, to me that's a bit draconian.
Yeah, they're trying to turn the Garda into the Gestapo. That's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to shut people up because people are waking up to all the nonsense that's going on. And all this directive is coming from Europe.
Don't get me wrong. Thank you, Paul. I don't agree that people should be holding placards like that. But what I'm saying is to arrest somebody for that, even though they haven't actually did it yet, to me, seems a bit much.
Can I just say something there? The other caller just said about trying to shut people up. Do you know what's a really hard truth to hear sometimes? Sometimes people need to shut up and they need to listen.
No,
and
they don't.
And they don't need, and they don't need to call each other's names. You can have an open and free debate about anything at all. And you don't have to bring hatred or incitement into it. And you can listen to another person's opinion and not try and drive your opinion down other people's throats.
If this bill comes in, Ashley Murphy's boyfriend would have been locked up the following day after the statement he made. And everything he said in that statement was fact. Because that would have been considered as hate speech.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't analysed everything he said in what he said, but I know, I'm reasonably familiar with what he said at the end of it when he talked about the perpetrator of the crime. And I know there was a discussion in relation to that. But yeah, you were right. I don't think he should be arrested for what he said. I think it's his opinion. It was part of a victim impact statement, as far as I remember. And I believe he's quite entitled to say what he wants. Anyway, sorry. No. Will.
I think down the line, this law will be used to force people to back off when there's major corruption at stake or going to be exposed. I think they're going to shove that at the people. I think that it's protecting the people in power rather than for the common good. I think that's going to happen.
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you?
Oh, no, I do. I understand how I can understand how it can be abused. Absolutely, the power.
And I think it does be abused, and I think it will be abused.
Let me just bring in Ian as well. Ian, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good, Ian. Go ahead.
I'm just kind of gathering my thoughts after the few that just said there. I would actually kind of disagree with some of the people that are saying that it's a draconian law, because we have to start somewhere in regards to hate crime and hate speech. Now, immigrants go home, I don't think it's in the spirit of hate speech, but go home, you book in.
Okay, you don't have to give us the example. Yeah, I get you.
That's very different. And if you can't state an opinion without having to insult the other party, without being able to get your point across eloquently, clearly, then, as I said, we need to draw a line somewhere. And it starts with this. Now, I was reading up, kind of familiarised myself a little bit, and I didn't pull from the guidance that the police would have the powers to go.
Yes, that was part of the legislation. And there was also there was also mention of a fine if, for example, they took your device, your phone, and you didn't give them the PIN number. There was a fine. I can't remember what it was. It was either €1,000 or 6 months in jail or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll give an example. Now, I'm not sure if anyone would be too familiar with this, but I don't know if you've read recently that the Vivian, who is a RuPaul's Drag Race UK drag queen, recently passed away just over the weekend. Her ex-husband shared a picture of him out with her out of drag. And the comments on the Facebook page about a person who had died were really, really offensive, particularly worse on some of the Irish pages compared to some of the UK pages. And hey, you can have an opinion that you don't agree with men dressing up as women.
You can state
that without calling someone a faggot or a queer or... You can still have these opinions without being insulting, without presenting a level of hatred that, as some of my colleagues on the line have stated. So I don't actually agree it's a draconian law.
Just very quickly, Ian, because before I go into the break, this conversation came out of the fact that Facebook have now announced they're going to plan to roll back their protections of the LGBTQ community, which kind of fits in with what you're talking about there at the moment. Currently at the moment, if you go onto Facebook, and they specifically talk about the fact that, say, if you went on Facebook and said that transgenderism is mental illness or that homosexuality is not normal, they say that under their guidelines now, that could be, those opinions could be held under religious grounds and those views should be accepted under those grounds. Do you believe those views should be allowed?
I asked me there.
Yeah.
I genuinely do. I am a queer person, and I also have a dis- So I understand being under protected characteristic, but I also agree that people can have opinions about this. But an intelligent person can have an opinion without presenting it with hatred. If you don't agree, and again, on religious grounds, on moral grounds, on ethical grounds, you can state those without... I could sit in front of a person, and if he presented that his views to me eloquently and just stated that, you know, I just don't agree with it, that's fine. Well, if he's saying, I don't agree with it, you fucking faggot, that's completely different.
No, I understand, and I don't, person. And I, by the way, I think once you go down that route, you've lost the debate.
Yeah, you have. You've lost any argument, any presentation that you've got. And if you had any pride in your intelligence and your efficacy in being able to present your opinions, you don't need to go down that route. As I said, immigrants go home is different than go home.
I know what you're going to say next. I get you. But mind you, in that particular case that I described, the fact that it's in the boot of somebody's car and hasn't actually been used, I don't think a person should be charged, because now we're getting into thought crimes. Sorry, Will, I'll give you the final word. I've got 30 seconds there, Will. The final word, hate speech or speech, is it free speech absolute? Yes or no? Final word, Will.
With the limitations, yes. Free, absolutely.
But then it's not absolute, is it?
No, not absolute. I'd agree with everything Ian said there.
Okay, everything. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Donald, Colm, Paul, Ian, Will, everybody else who got involved. Thank you very much indeed, and I really appreciate it. Now, we're going to move on after the break, by the way, talking about the Garda Síochána, and we're asking, are the Garda Síochána equipped to deal with crime? In other words, do they have too many restrictions when it comes to dealing with crime, as frontline members are limited? Because, you know, everybody nowadays has, you know, TikTok or YouTube or whatever it is on Facebook. Oh, I'm recording you. You know what I mean? Are they too limited and restricted in dealing with crimes nowadays? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0000.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.